Hallelujah. I'm prompted to ask you, Pastor Kirk, do you have a word? Did you have a word that God gave you to release? Okay. I want you to listen through. I really believe he's going to give you a word then. So if you get it, when you get it, please let me know. He highlighted you and said you had a word. So I just wanted to check on that. I also want to encourage you, the app giving. It's so neat because we get notified. We don't get notified what you gave, but we do, or do we? It's just it's a full report of what comes in, but I don't know if it's broken down. Anyways, the app. Many of you give on the app, and so when we don't see people come up to put money in the world, a lot of people give. We give every week on the app. It's such a convenient way, and I really want to encourage you with summer coming up. A lot of us will be traveling. It's a really convenient way, not just to give, but also to stay in touch with what's going on. I send out texts and prayer requests and different things on it. Also, I wanted to read a word that came to Angela while we were worshiping. She says, during worship, I saw a vision of stirring waters with white caps dancing throughout. I then heard, the waters are stirring. Can you see the white caps? I have touched the waters inside your, is that your head? Heart. Inside your heart. And I am stirring up the life that I have put within you. Do you feel it? Can you perceive that which is transpiring inside of you? As you allow me to stir you individually and corporately, you will feel and see the effervescent release of my glory. Do not hold back and do not sit down in your heart saying, this is not for me. For if you do, you will miss the revelation and healing that comes as I stir inside of you. Glory. Hallelujah. Also, before I get too far into it, I want to let you know that we're doing something very special. We're going to dismiss service, and then immediately, so if you need to leave, we understand, but immediately then we're going to do a baby dedication. Dr. Dale Fife is here, and this is for his family members, and this is, they're dedicating Malachi, and Malachi is how old now? 6 months old. And so Malachi's mommy and daddy, Brianna and Joseph will be here. Joseph, is your mother here too? Did I hear Susan? Susan, okay, Susan is here. And of course, we have Brian and Lori here. Good to see you guys again too. And then the great-grandparents, Dr. Dale and Eunice Fife. And who am I leaving out? Oh, yes. Now, aunt and uncle. Yes. So anyways, it's going to be a special dedication, probably only going to last maybe 10 minutes, and we invite you to join it. There's going to be cake then served afterwards, and so please be a part of celebrating this young life. Hallelujah. So as we're getting set here to get started, I would like to bring you an update on where we're at with the building program and what's happening. First of all, I think you remember, because I announced this a while back, that somebody caught the heart of God and me, and because we have really wanted to put glass doors on those entrance doors, because it kind of looks warehousey, and we're not a closed church, we're an open church. It just speaks better of who we are, and somebody caught that vision and stepped up and said, we want to do that. And so I've been getting bids all along, got the last one this week, and so we've settled it. And so probably within 3 to 4 weeks, those doors are going to be, the ugly ones will be removed, the beautiful ones where we can see each other coming and going are going to be put on there. And so I just want to say thank you to that couple, golden, precious, beautiful couple that have a heart to see God's house accelerate and be in excellence. Thank you guys so very much. Also, you know, you already heard the fundraiser, and I want you to know we're pretty darn close to having everything in that it's going to take to finish these up. And wait till you see the excellence with which they are going to be done. We ordered the awning this week that's going to go out above these doors and go continue the whole length of those so that kids can go in and come out without getting wet. It's just going to be really good. Probably this week, they're going to start building the deck between the two. And I'm thinking within maybe 6 weeks, we'll have it all done, have our CO, and put it online. So praise God. It's happening. Thanks to you. Thanks to you. You know, I told you, I did it as a funny, but it was really prophetic. I said, the good news is, I don't know if you remember this, the good news is all the money is there to put these online. The only problem, it's still in your pockets. And so we had to bring it forth. And so you have been very faithful to do that. And so I am excited. Three marriages in a month. That's pretty good. You know, we're almost motivated enough to get married ourselves. We've been living together for 36 years, and it's just getting us really close. I think it's good. Hallelujah. All right, going to start with just a little bit of humor. Don't put that slide up yet. I've got one of them I'm going to do as a visual. Not that one. A Baptist preacher. Now, if you're here and you're Baptist, we're going to do this tastefully, so it's good. A Baptist preacher and his wife decided to get a dog. Ever mindful of the congregation, they knew the dog must also be a Baptist. They visited kennel after kennel and explained the needs. Finally, they found a kennel whose owner assured them he had just the dog they wanted. The owner brought the dog to meet the pastor and his wife. "Fetch the Bible," he commanded. The dog bounded to the bookshelf, scrutinized the books, located the Bible, and brought it to the preacher. "Now, find Psalm 23, he commanded. The dog dropped the Bible to the floor, showing marvelous dexterity with his paws, leafed through it until he found the correct passage, and then he pointed to it with his paw. The pastor and his wife were very impressed and agreed to purchase the dog. That evening, a group of church members came to visit. The pastor and his wife began to show off the dog, having him locate several Bible verses. The visitors were very impressed. One man asked, "Can he do regular dog tricks too?" "I haven't tried yet," the pastor replied. He pointed his finger to the dog. "Heel," the pastor commanded. The dog immediately jumped on a chair, placed one paw on the pastor's forehead, and began to howl. The pastor looked at his wife in shock and said, "Oh no, he's Pentecostal." And then the next one, this is a visual funny, so go ahead and not that one, keep going. That one. It says normal heartbeat, deceased heartbeat. When your ladder moves a little bit when you weren't ready for it, you have all experience. Okay, that's it for the humor. I really wrestled with even doing humor because what I'm carrying to release to you today is a very, very weighty message. Now, sometimes when it's weighty, it means that it's kind of down, and I don't think it's going to be a down at all. In fact, if you're new here, if you haven't been here before, we have something that we do. There's actually a Bible passage. I'm not going to teach it to you now. If you want to know what it is, I'll tell you after service. But in Bible days, when there was a property that was purchased, they would leave a shoe and when they went back home, everybody would see that they had left their shoe. They're walking, you know, without their one shoe. They would know that the transaction had occurred. So they exchanged the shoe as evidence of receiving the property. We have a strange tradition. People will bring shoes or throw shoes. I think what's happened in the body of Christ is people say, you know, they'll hear a truth, they'll say, "Amen," almost like, "I knew that." And it just kind of like water off a duck's back. But if you hear a truth today and you're making a proclamation, "I want to trade something as evidence that I am exchanging this for that promise because I am receiving that promise." I think we need to get back to a day where amen means more than "I knew that." It means I am receiving that and I'm going to apply that truth to my life so that I become more like him. And so we just like to make it a little bit more evidential in that. I talked with you a few weeks about the glory. And the glory is so incredible, weighty to God. If you remember, we talked about Adam. When God created Adam, it says in the word that he crowned him with glory and with honor. He took what only God had. Can you imagine all of the creation that God created? The thousands of different mammals, the thousands of different insects, the thousands of different fish and birds and so on. And all of heaven was watching as he was creating things. But he was only going to create one thing that he was going to put his glory on. And that must have had heaven's attention. One thing that he's going to put, what's only been held by God, his glory, he's going to put it now on man. Must be quite an incredible assignment. And he did. He put his glory on man, on Adam. And here they are in the garden. And they have assignments in the garden. One of the assignments was to partner with heaven. See, the glory isn't just to walk around and say to everybody, I'm carrying his glory. Glory is for assignment. It's to partner with heaven. It's actually his presence upon you to accomplish things. And so he gave Adam assignments. And one of the assignments was to name the animals. Remember where it says to name the animals. But I want you to know it was beyond that. We have to look at what the original Hebrew meanings of those words were. And it says, Adam called each living creature that was the name. Shem is the Hebrew word for called, and Kara, Q-A-R-A, is the name, is the word for the name. And what they mean is he was proclaiming the character. When it says name, that's what the Hebrew word means. He was proclaiming their character. And in the word name, Quara, it means that he published that name. Publish means to publicly pronounce. So you could read that scripture, and whatever Adam characterized each living creature, that's what it was formally announced as. In other words, when he said, this is an eagle, it shall be courageous and it shall be fierce. It will be the master of the airways. It will dominate every other bird. It will be an avid hunter. It will be fiercely territorial, and it will be a loving and nurturing parent. That eagle became that because Adam spoke that into that eagle. I don't know what it was before. It might have operated like a chicken. But when he said that's an eagle and he proclaimed what it was for all of eternity, for all of creation, Adam partnered with the Holy Spirit and released it. That is our assignment. That's what the glory does. We're not wandering generalities. We're not just on this earth trying to figure out, well, wonder what job I should have and where I should live, and that's life. No, there's so much more. He's given you power and authority. We are supposed to operate in that for kingdom release. The advancement of his government is without end. Who's it going to advance through? You and me. We are on kingdom assignment. If you don't recognize it, though, you can't walk in it. So Adam has the glory, but here comes the serpent in the garden, and Adam turns the glory over to Satan when they sinned. Sin separates us from the glory. You know, we can think that Jesus came for salvation. And he did. But we all sin, and we've sinned and fall short of what? It doesn't say the salvation. Glory, salvation is in the glory. The glory is much bigger, much more containing. You carry glory. You walk in glory. You have assignment and purpose and destiny and power and authority, but if you don't know it, it's kind of like money in a bank account that you don't know it exists. I like to get online every once in a while, and they have these websites where there's lost money, you know, money that has from insurances and things. And I like to look, and just every once in a while, see if there's any money that maybe I haven't gotten yet. I want to make sure I get it. And, you know, I'm that way in the kingdom too. I don't want to have power and authority that is laying dormant because I don't recognize that it's there. All this morning was about seeing and the eyes and so on. I want to talk to you about your vision today. I think it was Helen Keller who said, there's nobody as blind as he who has vision but will not see. I think the body of Christ needs to wake up out of our slumber and be able to see some things so that we can walk into it. I want you to see your kingdom bank account, that it's got millions and millions of dollars worth of miracles and signs and wonders and authorities and powers that you can accept as yours. The devil is after your glory. It's what he stole from Adam. That was the first Adam. He lost it. Jesus, when he came back to recapture that which was lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It wasn't just people, although it was people. It wasn't just people. He came to get the glory back. See, Adam spoke to things, and they had to obey because his words were backed with heaven. But for thousands of years, that didn't happen because the glory was gone. Jesus arrives on the scene, and all of a sudden, he's speaking to things, and they're moving because the glory is here. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. It was his glory returned into the earth, and now he could speak to wind, and it had to obey. He could speak to fig trees, and they had to obey. He spoke to things and people and situations, and it had to obey, and that is your assignment. You're not a wandering generality. You're here with a purpose. He said, even greater things shall you do. But if you don't recognize that his glory is made available to you, then you'll walk without it. Hallelujah. I'm getting happy all by myself up here. All right, so that's what we talked about the glory last time. Now we're caught up to date. I want to take you from there on. And this is where it gets really, really weighty. We're going to cover quite a bit of scripture today, but just mainly from two sources, from 2 Corinthians 3 and also from Exodus 33. And so let's start with this. I want you to know that when God shows you something, remember Jesus only did what he saw the Father do? When God shows you something, he's showing it to you for a purpose. It's not that we, you know, I don't know if God, I think he enjoys just our casual conversations and so on, because he's a friend, and he sees you as a friend. But when assignment arrives on the scene, when he speaks to create. It's not just for enjoyment or cordialness. He speaks to create. When God talks to you, when he shows you something, he's trying to impregnate you with heaven. And in that pregnancy, inside of you grows goodness and assignment and direction and anointing and fruit and gifts and vision and on, all that heaven has. So it's good to engage in conversation with God about trivial things, but I think God loves it when we engage him about what is our purpose here and how do we walk that out? How do we partner with him? Listen to this. For the earth, this comes from Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. False. Wrong. The knowledge, Bible scholars. Listen, this totally changes that whole scripture. You need to understand what the scripture is really saying here. Let me read it to you correctly because I left something out that's important. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Just like the, how much water covers the sea? Yeah. I mean, is there any part of the sea that's not covered with water? Maybe a little bit of shoreline during the tide, but even that's just temporary. The waters cover the sea completely. God is looking for the day when his knowledge covers the entire earth, just like the waters cover the sea. That is God's heart. He's trying to get his glory into the earth. It's why he created man. It's why he sent Jesus to recapture that. Can you see the importance to heaven that you walk in your glory, that you understand the glory and what it does? And if this is an assignment that the knowledge of the glory, I think this should be a dominant message to the body of Christ. But to be honest with you, I've heard very few messages on glory. I've heard it on wisdom. I've heard it on healing. I've heard it. You can go 1,000 different topics, but the glory and what the glory is and how you operate in the glory. And probably this won't be my last message to you on glory, because I just want to see us walk into the fullness of it. For the earth will be filled. It will be. It will be filled with the knowledge of the glory. So we better get out there talking about and training and teaching on the glory. It's our destiny to live in glory. For all have sinned. I know it's been taught, and it is accurate, sin separates us from God. But listen, sin separates us from glory. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory. See, it's his presence. It does separate us, but there's more. We can be separated from his God. But if you understand that sin separates you not just from God, but from everything that God has, all of his peace, all of his power, all of his authority, all of his assignment, all of his destiny, there's all of that that comes with him. Really, the best definition I can tell you about glory, it's the fullness of his presence. We're seeking after his presence. Okay, let's get into some scripture. Exodus 33, starting in verse 7. This is talking about Moses. In fact, let's do this in the interest of time. Let me just exegete this a little bit for you. Moses, the children of Israel are in the desert at this point. Then Moses takes his tent. Now, everybody had their own tents for their family. Moses took his tent and he removed it from all of the other camps and took it out, it says, a long way away from the rest of the camp of the Israelites. And he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. Remember when the glory was on Adam, he could call things? I want you to see, Moses called this. Before it happened, he called this the Tabernacle of Meeting. And he would go out there and meet with God. You know, it says that all of the people would go out there to meet with God. But you know, when Moses went out, everybody else stayed home. And they would watch. Because I think this happened only when Moses went out to his tent to meet with God. It says the cloud, the pillar of cloud, would come down and stand in the door of the tent while God talked with Moses. And it says all of the rest of the camp, they would be in the doorway of their tent watching this, and it would cause them to worship. I believe that Moses had an audience with God because he declared some things and took some effort and activated something that none of the rest of the camp did. He took his tent, he set it aside, and he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. Do you have a tabernacle of meeting at your house? Do you have a place set aside that maybe everybody, they might walk through your living room, but nobody has access to the kingdom of God like you do in that place because you have called it. You have named, this is my spot. This is where I meet with my Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses in that tent. It says face to face, just like a friend talks to a friend. But do you know later on, after some negotiation, God's wanting Moses to take his people into the promised land, and he's saying, well, how are the people going to know that you're with me? And God says, I will be with you. My presence will be with you. And he said, show me your glory. And God explains to him, Moses, I can't do that. If I show you my face, you will die. Nobody can see the face of God and live. Now, wait a minute. Verses earlier, it said he was meeting with God face to face. Now God's telling him, you can't see my face and live. Oh, this is significant. I pray you'll catch this. There's a difference between seeking the face of God for wisdom and seeking the face of God for glory. I believe he was getting wisdom from God. See, you can get wisdom from God without his glory. But you can't get the glory of God without his wisdom. See, when you go after the glory, you get the whole enchilada. You get the whole package. And if God was to show him his goodness, all of God's goodness, all of it in one package, he'd just be toast. So God, he makes a deal with him. Said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to cover you with my hand as I'm approaching. And it will be after I'm on my way out. And you just see my backside. That's all you can see. And he did that. It's important to know because he said, my presence will go with you. Ah. Glory, his presence. You know, what was that commercial? what's in your wallet? Or what was that other one? Don't leave home without it. I mean, that should be what we should be saying about the glory. We don't leave without his presence. We don't leave without his glory. In his glory, we have assignment for the day. Have we even sought him in the morning other than to say, this is God, this is me, this is my needs, this is what I want today. Please protect me. We pray selfish prayers, but we should be praying partnership prayers. God, what do you want to do through me today? Who is it you want me to see today? What do you want me to release over them today? What is my assignment, God? Instead of a list of needs, we should be talking to him about his needs and how we can meet his needs. Show me your glory. All right, let's move quickly if we can. You know, here's just a thought, a side note. This is commercial, no extra charge for this one. I think we're crowned with glory. You know, when we get to heaven, the Bible says we're going to cast our crowns at his feet. Why? I believe this. Remember how he had to hide Moses from the glory? I believe, see, when we get to heaven, we're going to know even as we're known. We're going to know it all. When we get to heaven, and we see the glory, our glory is going to be as nothing. And we will simply bow and cast our crowns at his feet because who we thought we were and what we thought we accomplished and all of the things that we were on this earth are going to count almost for nothing when we see the greatness of his goodness and his glory. And it will be all we can do but to remove our crowns and say, it's all yours. It's all yours. So, I want to read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you brought your Bibles, please turn there, because I want you to see some things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look at several verses here. And let me read to you, if I may. Starting in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 3:2, you are our epistle written on our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Your message, Angela. And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not the letter, but the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadily look at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not more gracious be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what was passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. It's like Paul is drawing a line of division between what was the inferior glory, which was under the law, and the righteous glory, which is under grace. And he's defining the two. And in the one, he says, in the inferior, he says, it's written with ink. And he says, it's on, not on tablets of stone. So he's saying, written with ink on tablets of stone, it's not sufficient. He says, the letter kills. It's a ministry of death. It's a glory that was passing away. But listen to the new, the righteous glory. Because in the same verse, in the delineation, he says, by the Spirit of the living God. It's written on tablets of flesh. Its sufficiency is from God. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's a glory that excels. I mean, can you see the delineation that Paul is trying to draw right here between the two? So there are two glories. But I want you to know, folks, you're not in the Old Testament. You're in the New. You are in the glory that excels. When Moses saw the glory and it lit up his flesh like a light bulb, then he had to cover it up, not because of the shine as we have thought, but the Bible tells us, because he didn't want them to see the glory passing away. But we live in a new covenant, and we go from glory to glory. It's a glory that is increasing. That's why Jesus could say, what I did, and even greater things will you do. Listen, let me find the scripture. I'm so lost right now, like a goose in a snowstorm. Let me see if I can find this here. Here, this is verse 12, and this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're now in verse 12. Listen to what it says. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. So he's saying we use greatness of speech. Why? Because what Moses was trying to cover up was the glory going away. But we walk in the glory that's accelerating, so we have great boldness of speech. We're proud and happy to proclaim on God's behalf what he's doing and what he's wanting to do. We don't have to hide it. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. In other words, when you turn to Christ, you know what he's really saying here? The entire Old Testament was written about Jesus, the whole thing. But we don't read it that way. It wasn't revealed. But when we come to know Jesus, now we can read the Old Testament, and it's like the veil's off, and we see, oh my gosh, this whole thing is about Jesus. God has been pointing us to Jesus from the beginning of time. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. Put up the kid looking in the water, if you would. You know, I keep looking. I find pictures you've seen. I put it up a lot. The kitty cat looking in the mirror, seeing the lion. And I found this one. I mean, these just ministers. That's my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. I know you hear that every week from every other scripture, but that really is probably my favorite scripture. With unveiled face, we're beholding it as in a mirror. The glory. What are we beholding? The glory. We're seeing the glory of God. If you can see the glory of God, you can become like it. What are you looking for? God talks to prophets in various different ways all through the Bible. But when he meets with Moses in the tabernacle of meeting, and he meets with him face to face. See, the end of the glory that was fading on Moses, well, that was glory based on an inferior covenant. It was glory that was fading, as opposed to your life, which is glory that is increasing. It's all based on seeing, the ability to see. Jesus saw from the Father. There was no hindrance. The veil was taken away. He could see clearly. He was looking for the glory, and then he did the glory. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Oh, my. What happened with Nicodemus? He turned to the Lord and the veil was lifted. And this is what Jesus said. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot taste the kingdom of God. That's not what it says. He cannot experience the kingdom of God. He cannot walk out the kingdom. No, it says he can't see. Jesus gives us the ability to see. I want you to know that when you turn your heart towards Jesus, it's like looking through a tunnel that has an elbow in it, and all of a sudden it's straightened out, and now you can see all the way. You can see the intention of heaven. You can see the glory that you can walk into. You can see your assignment. You can see. He'll illuminate your path. You'll have the mind of Christ. You'll have power and authority because alignment has occurred. But if you don't recognize it, that's why he's saying the knowledge of the glory. We've got to get the knowledge of the glory out there. If you don't know it, you can't walk in it. You can't see it. What was the original intent of God? That's why this message is so important. The original intent was the glory for all of sin. What did Satan steal from man initially? He stole the glory. Can you see the war is over the glory? And yet, we walk in very little of it. We walk in very little knowledge of it. No, no, no. Oh, my. You ever get in your car? If you ever lived up north and you had to get in your car after it was cold, snowy, icy, you had to clean the windshield before you could go on your journey. I think that's the same way. The glory cleans the windshield. It gives us the ability to see for the journey. We know what our assignment is. I couldn't tell you how many people I've sat with time after time after time. If I just knew God's will, if I just knew God's will, I would do it if I just knew what is his will. This is his will. This is it. The glory. You will find your destiny. You will find your purpose. You will find your assignment when you walk in his glory. Remember, the glory is his presence. Now, I'm not promoting that instead of having an audience with people. That's important too. In fact, do you know, because we don't process people relationships very well, that the glory gets stolen by Satan that way? Why? Because if you're so busy looking at that, you can't be looking at him. It's everywhere. Satan is trying to steal our eyes off of the glory everywhere you look. Listen to these statistics. It happens in politics. It happens in the world. It happens in relationships. The enemy is trying to steal your glory. Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God. In other words, creation. There's a scripture that says creation cries out of his glory. And so when this is happening, look what is said about global warming. Global warming. According to NASA's own data, we have experienced 1/3 of 1 degree of warming in the last 35 years, and we haven't seen any global warming for 17 years. And the world is actually 1.0 degrees cooler than it was in 1998. Why? Why? It's to get your focus off. Do you know that we spend $22 billion a year on this thing called global warming? That's $41,856 every minute is going towards this thing. Listen, God created the heavens and the earth. He knows what he's doing. We've always been in a cooling, heating period that happens over 100, 150 years. Come on. It's just a tool. You can see it with NASA and with global warming, but I want you to see it in our relationships. I want you to see it in your assignments. You know, when you know that God is good and you're walking in his glory and you're in assignment, you can walk into situations and not have the situations shipwreck you. Why? Because you're walking in authority and assignment. And when you do and you speak to situations, they have to line up with heaven. It's not these demonic assignments that are going to line up over you. It's God's assignment. If you will walk in the glory, you can have authority over the situation. Now, that doesn't mean you dominate the person. Give me your wallet in Jesus' name. You can't find that in the Bible. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, come on, his will is right here, folks. We don't have to wonder. It's all right here. If we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. That tells me that if we ask anything that's not according to his will, he's not even hearing us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked. That's confidence. Confidence. Confidence comes from walking in the glory. All right. So, will In 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God." It hasn't appeared to us what we will be, but here's what we know. That when he appears, we'll be like him. Because we will see. Say, see. We'll see him as he is. Listen, in this world that is bombarded with heaven and hell, we live halfway in between, we're in the process of being transformed. We're not transformed, we're being transformed. But when all that is over with, and when the Lord comes, and we are caught up in the air with him, and we see him face to face, there will be an instant transformation. No longer will we be being transformed. We will be fully transformed to be like him because we see him fully. Here we see him like looking through a glass darkly, but then face to face, and we will be fully transformed. But that doesn't absolve us from walking in the transformation now. Get it now. He's looking for kingdom transformer. Okay. Imagine if you went to a big party by a rich friend and you went into his house. And as you did, there's 100 people there. And you acknowledge the owner and he acknowledges you. But then you go on visiting with all of the people invited to the party. That's our church services to a large degree. We acknowledge the owner, and we fellowship with all the people he invited to the party. And it becomes more about that than it does about him. We've got to go after the glory. We've got to seek him. Come on. It's not about what's happening socially. It's important. Family is important to God. But I want to tell you the most important thing is you being family with him. Because everything stems out of that. We went to I don't know if it was a marriage seminar or where we learned this, but it's like a pyramid. And whoever you're married to or whoever the person is, the way you grow closer together, you put God at the top. Here's you, here's them. And as you grow closer to God, you automatically grow closer together. And that's what this life is. Seek after the glory. It'll straighten everything up. If you will seek the glory, you'll do what's right. And listen, if you keep doing what's right, what's wrong will leave your life. Okay. Why does he want us transformed? Do you ever think about that? Okay, it's good. The glory, authority, power, destiny, assignment. Why? Why does he want that for us? One at a time, please. I'll tell you why. Listen to this. Please catch this. Transformed people transform cities. Whenever God speaks to you, he almost always has somebody else in mind or other people in mind. He's trying to grow you to the point where your influence can be felt in regions and in families and beyond. All right. Now, you've been created as a man or a woman in his likeness and in his image. This is seeing a likeness, an image. That's what it is all about. He crowned man with his glory, and Jesus came to restore it. So, in Acts, let me just give you one Bible example. I won't give you any more because we're just trying to. I want to get you somewhere today. One example in Acts 14:8. It says, "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked." Are you getting this picture? Cripple man, never walked, never in his life. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, and. See, I think he saw him in the physical. He looked on him intently. But when he did, he saw something in the spirit. See, when you carry the glory, you can see things that you can't see physically. And seeing that he had faith to be healed. Paul, I wonder how many times we have prayed for people that had no faith to be healed. Because we didn't look. We didn't look. Your glory is about seeing. It says he saw. You saw faith in the man. He said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And the man leaped up. He didn't just... It says he leapt up. Can you see that? He never walked in his life. But recognition and ability to see caused such a transformation that everything in the natural had to line up with heaven. And when things line up on the earth, they line up with heaven. They don't just line up partway. They line up, man. I mean, they line up. That's why God wants you to walk in glory. So heaven will line up with earth on earth, just as it is in heaven. And we sit and we pray it and we think it and we, but are we walking in the glory to release it? It's in you. Come on. The kingdom of God is within you. If you're going to release glory, it's going to have to come out from the inside of you. You've got to see it. You've got to release it. Oh, Jesus. All right. 2 Corinthians 4. I won't read the whole thing. Let me just start verse 6. It says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Put that back up with the lion and the kitty. That's glory. Right there, that's glory. There's not a picture I've seen that speaks of glory more than that. Look at that picture. Let me read this to you again. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. The Bible says that when we look upon him, we're being transformed from glory to glory. Come on. It's not a decrease. It's not an elevator that goes down. Your glory is increasing if you will walk in it. Now, here's the truth. You can choose to walk in it or not. Again, the bank account. You can choose to cash it in. You can either, it's there for you, but if you don't know it. I have seen people that have walked with the Lord for 50 years and put them side by side with another person. They've only known the Lord for less than a year. But in that year, they have sought the presence of God everywhere. They're at the altar. They have their time in the morning seeking his face and his glory. They have really put out to get into the glory of God. And that 50-year, somebody walking with the Lord for 50 years, the only time he feels even an inkling of glory is the last stanza of the last song on Sunday morning. And that's it. And I can show you somebody with less than a year who carries way more glory than the person that's walked for 50 years and doesn't seek it out. You'll be changed, transformed into his image as you get in his presence, in his glory. It's all about the presence. It's all about the presence. But if you don't see, you can't have. If you don't, let me put it this way, if you won't see, there's many Christians, they just listen, I understand, busy, got obligations, got, it just keeps us. I can promise you that the enemy will do everything he can to keep you from getting his glory, getting God's glory. He'll steal it. He'll lie to you. He'll keep you busy. On and on, endless. Listen, folks, this is such a weighty message because it's all about the glory. It's what God wants to get to you. It's what the enemy wants to steal from you, the glory. Have anything? I figured you would.
You don't need to. I'm good without that.
No, just for recording.
Okay. I think this is a word that I was given in probably the first time we were here, and I kind of spoke it over somebody, and I'm just going to kind of work through it. This is really not something I'm used to. I believe the church, if it ever wants to recognize and understand the glory, first has to understand that when sin came in, the natural eyes were opened, which means that the spiritual eyes were closed, which is the whole purpose of the stony heart, which is why God gave us a new heart. We want to operate in the glory. We need to close the natural eyes, and we need to walk with the new eyes, which is the eye of the heart. The heart doesn't see the color of a person's skin or the economic status that they walk in. The heart is pure, and that's where the glory is. I think every time that you spoke today was kept referring back to the heart. And when we can understand that the glory resides in the heart, we can see and understand the spiritual implications of where the Lord has destined us to be. And we can understand and walk in the glory.
Thank you, Pastor. I love you too. Give me a second. There's a scripture. I know I saw it this morning. I pulled it up this morning and I stuck it in here, but I don't know where I put it. It's somewhere between Genesis and the maps. It's a powerful scripture. You'll never forget it. Oh, help me, Jesus. I need some glory right now. It's coming. I see you there. I'm not ignoring you, but I've got to find the scripture.
How could you ignore me?
Let me just paraphrase it. Maybe somebody can find it so we can, before the end of the day. But what he says is, this is rebellion to God. You who have eyes to see, but do not see. That's rebellion. Can you see his glory? Can you imagine waking up in the morning and saying, I'm going to go throughout the day today without lifting my eyelids? But we do it every day, spiritually.
I've been sitting in the back, absorbing the word this morning. And I had a vision of a can. It was like, you know, these big orange juice cans used to come in a big can. And I saw one of these old can openers, you know, that wasn't electric, but it was like one of these old can openers, those of you who remember. And what was in the can? I mean, orange juice is incredible. If you've ever gone over to Mixon's and had some of their free juice out of that dispenser. How many of you have done that? Uh-huh. Oh my goodness, it's just, I don't, the perfect temperature and everything. And what I sensed was that Pastor Ron is carrying something. I don't think we got it this morning. I have to say, I think the can is just opening. But he's carrying it in his heart. And I've never seen him in this sense as he's delivering. He's wanting you to get it. He's wanting you to see it because he's carrying it in his heart. He is the messenger of the Lord for this house. And this is a very significant message. So I just want to affirm apostolically that this is the word of the Lord for this season. And he is so full of it. He's carrying it. You have got to hear more of this message to get it. So I just want to encourage you this morning, Ron. This is the word of the Lord. And I can see your spirit in tune with the Holy Spirit just kind of trying to jump out of your skin. How do I get them to connect with this? And I think for your encouragement, you had just opened a can.
Praise God.
And when it's fully open, this place will not be the same.
Amen.
I mean, not that it's not good. It is good here. But God has so much more that I believe people will walk into the door and just be slain in the glory
Amen,
of God.
Amen.
And wherever you go, you will carry it. But the word, you have to hear the word. You have to embrace it. You have to get it into your spirit. You have to allow it. You have to marinate in it. And that's pretty good. I'm not even bringing the message, but I got one shoe, Ron. I just want to commend you for this incredible word that, you know, I've heard messages on glory. And one of my friends in Pennsylvania who has since gone home to glory, his later years were marinated in the glory of God. And what a difference, even in his own life. So stretch your hands toward your pastor, will you? Father, we thank you so much this morning for this man who you have set in this place to bring your word, and we receive it this morning. We receive it. We just believe, Lord, that this is just a taste. We're just getting the essence, the smell of pure juice. And we thank you, Lord, for your servant. We speak your blessing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will be able to release even in greater measure and effectiveness the wonderful message that the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of you will, not maybe, it will cover the earth. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Dale. Yeah, Ezekiel 12, too. I found it in my notes, too. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear. I pray the Holy Spirit never, never, never has to say that over this house. Hallelujah. Here's what I'd like to end with today. I want to pray for vision. You know, all through the Bible, there's recovery of sight to the blind. And I believe, you know, I know it's talking about physical. But how many of you know God's a whole lot more interested in opening our spiritual eyes than our. So I would like for you to stand, and I would just want to pray. No, I don't. I want you to pray over each other. This is a little uncomfortable because there's gaps and so on. But can you just kind of scrunch until everybody is touching? I believe that there's power in touch. They laid hands on the disciples and sent them out. They laid hands on the sick and they were healed. There's just something about a touch in this. So, Father, I just declare a healing of sight spiritually. Lord, me too. In fact, let me get in this line. Lord, I thank you that our spiritual eyes would be open like never before. God, that you have placed so much in riches into our account that we haven't tapped into yet. They lay there dormant, waiting for us to pick them up. Let us see him, Lord. Let us be like the servant who looked on the mountaintop and saw in the spirit realm whole armies available. What courage came upon him as he saw that he didn't have. May we be courageous when we look in the account and see what you placed there for us. Lord, show us your glory. Show us your glory, God. Show us your glory. Let us see your glory that we can walk into, that we can have. And so I thank you, God, for seers anointed and called of you for kingdom assignment and kingdom release. And I thank you, God, with great boldness of speech, because we're not like Moses, whose glory was fading away, but we are like you, whose glory is increasing. And Lord, I thank you that we speak boldness, boldly because we see, boldly because we've accessed the glory. Your presence is with us and we see you with us. So I thank you, God, for greater access. Let us see. Would you say this with me? God, open my eyes. Let me see what you see. And I will do what I see you do. Thank you for the glory. I will not ignore it. I will not bypass it. But I will stand in your glory, clothed in your presence, and you and I will change situations and create kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, hope.